You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
That Canadian smoke. So watch out for that. And there's some kind of air quality alerts out there for some folks. So,
there is.
Be very careful out there. Temperatures in the mid-50s this morning, getting in the mid-70s later on today. And once again, in our 7 o'clock hour, we have our Scani Summer Text Win Statewide Contest, your daily chance to win a pair of, this time around, Milwaukee Brewer club-level tickets. And every entry puts you into the grand prize drawing of the Wisconsin Dells getaway or a Door County getaway. If you're the grand prize winner, you get to choose that. Of course, we have other key word hours at during 11 a.m. hour, 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. hours. And this time around, the word, John, you ready for this? Ready?
I am.
Yeah. Road. R-O-A-D. Road is the key word. So what do you need to do? Well, you need to get the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google store if you don't have it already. You can get them there, and it's free to download, very easy to use. Just click on the WMDX site, and you'll see the button to send a text. You can text us the word road, R-O-A-D. That is the word this hour. And again, a pair of club-level tickets to an upcoming Milwaukee Brewers game. So get those texts to us. You have until 8 a.m.
All right.
For that keyword. Okay? And this is a statewide contest. If I didn't mention that before, I'm mentioning it now.
Wow, good to know.
Thank you.
As I've promised each and every day at this time, we are going to be presenting a little bit more information about Palantir, the new data gathering device that they've attached to all of our government bodies now to keep track of you and me.
Where did they come up with that word, Palantir? Is that a...
That's the little globe thing that you might have seen in the movie?
Well, sounds like...
Thanks for asking.
Sounds like a wine to me. I'll have a Palantir, please.
Palantir here. Yeah, to a... Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
There's a globe.
Okay. All right.
That is being used.
Yes.
To communicate, and that is the Palantir. Yes.
Okay.
It's kind of scary stuff. It really is. It's part of the evil forces in that series of books.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Palantir, we're gonna feature one now, and this is a web wisdom from somebody who just want to, you know, kind of found out a little bit information. Tomorrow, though, we're going to feature a cut from Democracy Now.
Okay.
That gets into it in a little bit more depth. So we'll also have that tomorrow a little bit after 7 o'clock. But right now, let's get into Peter Thiel's company, Palantir, and how they're gathering all the information, the database, tracking our every move, purchases, traffic tickets, exercise, watches, whole thing.
Big Brother.
They know everything about us.
Yeah.
Big Brother and Megas, I thought, were, you know, kind of against something like this. But for some reason now, it's part of the Trump plan. So why don't we get into this? This is cut 34. Cut 34, Palantir.
Okay.
So Peter Thiel now owns Donald Trump, according to the Hindustan Times. This is referencing a large database that Palantir is now going to be compiling on U.S. citizens or people living in America. Anybody who's been following me for even a minute knows that I believe that Peter Thiel has owned Trump for a lot longer than just recently. Thiel and the other tech bros forced Trump to take J.D. Vance as his vice president, likely in exchange for using all of our data to do sort of a Cambridge Analytica 2.0 in this most recent election. And there are a couple of reasons why, this huge database being one of them, because that feeds into what Peter Thiel has been wanting to do with the United States, which is turn it into basically a police state using technology. And the other reason is Palantir gets that they got an $8 million contract last week. Compiling this huge database on all of us is worth tens of millions.
Right.
Like, we are only 6 months in, and I cannot convey to you how much worse it's going to get. And I know I sound like a crazy person every time I talk about this is really fucking bad.
Just get rid of this. Just take it down. Yeah.
There we go. Huh. Okay.
Well, it wasn't the edited version, so yeah, sadly. Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, you got the idea that a lot of people are angry about this whole thing, Palantir. Yeah,
their web wisdom.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let's go to the phones.
Oh, we do. We have Mark up there. Mark, what do you got for us today on the show?
Good morning, Mark.
Yeah, what galls me is Peter Thiel is probably stealing a word that was created by J.R.R. Tolkien because he invented a whole language for his Lord,
that's right,
his
he did.
Lord
yes.
of the Things.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Peter Thiel actually paid anything to the to them for use of this. That I certainly think that the estate of J.R.R. Tolkien should probably sue Peter Thiel for every nickel he's got for misuse of this word and hang him in his hideout to dry.
Mm. Boy, yeah, you would think that you know, the family still has a very tight hold on to that whole book, everything in it, all the words, all the names. Mm-hmm. You would think that they'd be on this thing, right? They probably haven't heard about it yet. But
I certainly would. I mean, it's like
send a note.
Elon Musk using the word grok. I mean, that was created by Heinlein when he wrote it, "Stranger in a Strange Land."
That's right.
And it should be a banned word for all MAGA because it's in a banned book. So that. But that's my thought for the day.
All right. No, that's a good thought, right. Mark. Brothers. Yeah.
Mark, thank you.
I'd like to see a lawsuit in regards to that. That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might remember when Springsteen was in England, and he came out and had a few comments about Trump, which he didn't like.
He was in concert there, making a tour.
That's right.
And
well, now he has a little video out.
Okay.
And I thought we'd play the audio version of this. It's about 2 minutes. This is Springsteen. Let's listen to it.
Okay.
There's no art in this White House. There's no literature, no poetry, no music. There are no pets in this White House. No loyal man's best friend. No socks, the family cat. No kids' science fairs. No time when the president takes off his blue suit, red tie uniform, and becomes human. Except when he puts on his white shirt and khaki pants uniform and hides from the American people to play golf. There are no images of the first family enjoying themselves together in a moment of relaxation. No Obamas on the beach in Hawaii moments, or Bushes fishing in Kennebunkport. No Reagans on horseback. No Kennedys playing touch football on the Cape. Where'd that country go? Where did all the fun, the joy, and the expression of love and happiness go? We used to be the country that did the ice bucket challenge and raised millions for charity. We used to have a president who calmed and soothed the nation instead of dividing it. And a first lady who planted a garden instead of ripping one out. We are rudderless and joyless. We have lost the cultural aspects of society that make America great. We have lost our mojo, our fun, our happiness, our cheering on of others, the shared experience of humanity that makes it all worth it. The challenges and the triumphs that we shared and celebrated, the unique can-do spirit that America has always been known for. We are lost. We've lost so much in so short a time.
Yep. Wow.
That's Bruce Springsteen. And that's
pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah. He put that out a week or two ago. Mm-hmm. And he gets right to the point. I mean, he's right on all of those things.
Yeah.
It's completely different kind of White House than we're used to.
There's no art there.
No.
No creativity.
No music. No pets.
Is it? Yeah. When you think about it, right? No pets.
And no, you know, just no sign. Like he said, Trump never takes off the uniform except to play some golf.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what he does.
Wow. You know, the thing is, we don't make
a big enough
issue of the makeup that he puts on.
Oh, yeah.
Because it really is just, you know, you see it, you just can't believe that there's somebody putting that amount of makeup on his face, orange makeup, and it's obvious. You can see the edges around his face. It's just, you know, normally we don't talk about how a person looks because, you know, it's really what they're doing and what they're thinking. But in this case, it's just, it's getting crazy.
So obvious,
right?
Yeah.
All right, I want to get to one more thing here, and I think this is really important. Josh Hawley brought this up, and I'm glad he did because this is something all of us are thinking about. Josh Hawley brought up a chart that showed Trump is off the charts when it comes to nationwide injunctions.
What?
Insinuating people are out to get Trump, basically. But he was talking and questioning Professor Kate Shaw. She's a law professor. And Kate Shaw, by the way, is also Chris Hayes' wife.
Oh, really? I didn't
yeah,
know that.
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of interesting. Anyway, let's listen. This is cut 56. If you could cue up cut 56 and listen to Josh Hawley opening a Pandora's box, which he shouldn't have opened up.
The principle of when an injunction binding non-parties, which was never done in this country before the 1960s, and let's see the chart, the Trump chart, which was done really only once Trump came into office for the first time. You don't think this is a little bit anomalous? You don't think that's a little bit strange?
A very plausible explanation, Senator, you have to consider is that he is engaged in much more lawless activity than other presidents. Right?
There you go. This was never used before the 1960s, and suddenly Democrat judges decide we love the nationwide injunction. And then when Biden comes to office, actually.
It's Republican appointees as well, Senator. And the 1960s is where some scholars begin, sort of locate the beginning of this.
Can you identify one before then?
Mila Sahoni, who's another scholar of universal injunction, suggests 1913 is actually the first. Others in the 20s.
The Republic endured for 150 years before there was a nationwide injunction.
Well, the federal government was doing a lot less until 100 years ago. So, there's many things that have changed in the last 100 or the last 50 years.
See?
So long as it is a Democrat president in office, then we should have no nationwide injunctions. If it's a Republican president, then this is absolutely fine, warranted, and called for. How can our system of law survive on those principles, Professor?
I think a system in which there are no meaningful constraints on the president is a very dangerous system.
That's right.
Okay.
A system where there are no constraints on the president is a dangerous system. And I'm glad Josh Hawley brought this up.
Right.
Again, this has been their argument for the last 5 or 6 years, right? Oh, everybody's going after him. All these injunctions nationwide. How is this possible? It's just because the Democrats are trying to get him. No, it's because he is breaking the law.
Breaking the law. That's it.
Yes. That's the whole point. And this is the way she said it here. A very plausible explanation you have to consider is that he's engaged in much more lawless activity than other presidents.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nicely put.
Hey, speaking of the law, we'll be talking to Jim Santel in our 7:30 hour. Maybe we can talk to him a little bit about some of that when he joins us, Attorney Jim Santel. That's in our 7:30 hour.
Now there's a ban on travel to certain countries, he'll be talking about that.
Yes, we'll get into all of that coming up. This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by our friends at Verlo Mattress. You can wake up and sleep better on a Verlo mattress. A lot has changed since 1958, but some things have remained constant throughout Verlo's history. They're still direct-to-consumer and providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress, 2 locations in Madison, East Side and West Side. Go to Verlo.com. Check out their lifetime comfort guarantee. 19 past the hour. We'll also update you on our Wisconsin Scotty Summer Text to Win statewide contest. The key word this hour is road. We'll tell you more about that when we come back with John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, everybody! Come on, come on! Hey, this is Madison's rock and roll dentist, Chris Cameron. You know, a vote for John and Gordy as best radio team in Madison is a vote for better dental hygiene. Why? I was hoping you'd ask. because they make you smile. And I know that smiling is a good thing. So be sure to vote for John and Gordy in the Best of Madison poll from Madison Magazine. And don't forget to floss every day. And you know what? Cut back on the sugar. Come on, come on.
Thank you, Chris.
WMDX 92.7, and on your Civic Media app as well. You can text us, tell us what you think, and hit that voice note. And also, we want to hear from you.
Yes.
Except for, you know, Troy's wearing thin.
Also, if you want to find out more about the Best of Madison contest, you can go to WMDXRadio.com. That's WMDXRadio.com. And you'll find out all about the Madison Magazine Best of Madison contest. We're up for Best Radio Team. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Check it out.
All right.
If we can get your vote, we'd appreciate it. Want to remind everybody one time right here, again, that we are in a Scotty Summer Text Win Contest Hour here. The keyword is road. That's R-O-A-D, road. Okay, right. And up for grabs this time around is a pair of tickets to the Brewers game. Of course, every time you enter, you're in for the grand prize drawing of a Wisconsin Dells getaway or a Door County getaway. Just use the Civic Media app. That's the easy way. Download it at the Apple or Google Store and use it to text to win. Okay?
All right. Sounds easy enough, and I'm glad that you brought up road.
R-O-A-D.
Road. Okay.
If you want contest rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Yeah. All right, let's get to another cut here, and I think this is kind of,
what?
I don't know.
What do you got?
It's a way to communicate and get our ideas across. For a lot of Democrats, liberals, and progressives, or pro-democracy individuals, this is a way to maybe form your ideas and get that message out there.
How?
Because everybody is like, criticizing the Democrats for not doing this, not doing that. Yeah. Okay, well, I think a lot of that is incorrect. But anyway, this person has it all, and it's Democrat Senator Alyssa Slotkin from Michigan.
Okay.
They took a survey in Michigan, and she's using some of the information they got from that survey in order to form another message.
Mm.
All right? The way, a way to communicate, and this is cut 40, so we can get that. Let's listen.
Okay.
You've said adopt the alpha energy, but you've also said that the Dems, there's a perception of the party as weak and woke.
It's actually what Michigander said. There was a poll in February, and those were the words identified most with the Democratic brand.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, again, I don't think it's just Trump voters who want something different. I think our government is a 20th century government, and we're in the 21st century.
Yep.
It needs to change. No one loves our health care.
Yep.
No one loves how we do education.
Exactly.
No one loves how our government works.
Right. Yep.
So we need to change it, but we want responsible change, not reckless change, not just breaking stuff to break stuff.
Yeah.
And, but I think we need to hear that. And I think the Michiganders understand that, like, we can't stay the same. We can't look backwards. We have to look forward. But we want to know who that is. And I think the Democratic Party should be leading instead of just saying, no, 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 status quo, status quo, don't change. No, embrace change. But, like, put your marker down on what you think should happen. Talk about how we need a stronger middle class in this country because it's shrinking. It is. Like, don't try to hide it. It is.
Yeah.
So, to me, that's, like, the vision piece.
Yeah.
And then because I'm from the national security world, like at the Pentagon, you don't go to the bathroom without a plan, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're constantly planning.
That's what I've been doing wrong all these years.
So I think like Democrats need a plan. And I've been in the Senate for like 112 or 15 days. And I got tired of waiting for someone else to do it.
Yeah.
So I just like wrote a war plan, decamped with a bunch of my closest like friends and advisors and wrote our best stab at what we should be doing as a country to push back on the threats to our economy and our democracy.
There you go.
Wow.
I think it's a great explanation.
Who is that again?
That is Alyssa Slotkin. She's a Democrat from Michigan. And she's reflecting what she found out in a poll in Michigan. And I think listening to the people is the way to go.
Yeah.
So why don't we go to the phone lines right now to listen to the people.
Yep.
Dick, what do you got for us?
Good morning, Dick.
To the big bad Bill real quick. Now there's polling showing that Trump's base, you know, the real hardcore megas, believe that this is a great thing. It's absolutely great, while even a lot of Republicans are questioning it. Well, they're telling him, sir, you may lose the midterms. He's basically like, well, presidents usually do lose the midterms.
Yeah.
Well, if you do, you're pretty much rendered a lame duck. And then real quick, can I put in a plug for something?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
State Street Car Show Saturday.
Oh, oh, is it this Saturday?
Yeah, 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock Saturday.
Oh, oh man.
Well, we saw some cars parked there yesterday on the corner of Johnson and State Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. Classic, beautiful cars.
Yeah, that is a great show.
It is. They'll be all the way from down towards campus, all the way to the square.
Do you have a classic car, Dick?
Yeah, well, I guess you'd call it that. 66 Buick convertible.
Oh,
sure,
man.
Sure, I would call it. Yeah. Oh, man, that's fantastic.
It's a driver. Stuff. It's not one of these. It's not a trailer queen.
So you're not in the show? Are you in the show? Or
oh,
no?
Yeah.
Oh, yep, you are?
Yep, I'm in.
All right.
Yep.
Okay.
Finally, kept
right,
my 61 Biscayne.
Thank you, Dick. Appreciate it. What?
My 61 Chevys.
Yeah?
I had like three of them because they were easy to work on. They were straight sixes. So I get under the hood and I could change the spark plug.
Good. Oh, those were the days. Right?
Oh, yeah.
It is 7:29. When we come back, we'll be talking with Jim Santel, attorney at law from Amicus.
Oh, yeah.
Law
Review. A lot to talk about.
Always a lot of legal stuff. He'll help us out. He'll hold our hand through the legal craziness that's happening. Right here.
It's a madhouse.
It is. John Agordi in the morning.
Capital City, that happy tall city. It's Capital City, my home sweet, swinging home.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning. In just a moment, we have Jim Santel from Amicus Law Review coming up. You can listen to his program on Saturdays, 9 to 11. But first...
on the Civic Media Radio Network, every Saturday. But first, weather-wise today, everything is looking good, bright and sunny through most of the day, maybe a few clouds later, mid-50s this morning, mid to upper 70s later on today. This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. One thing remains constant. Since 1958, they are still direct-to-consumer, providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Two locations in Madison, East Side and West Side. Just go to Verlo.com.
All right. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Jim, good to have you with us.
Always a delight, gentlemen, and a few things going on this wonderful Thursday morning, including our president back at it again and with relation to immigration and immigrants in particular.
Yeah.
Yeah, this time they didn't come right out and say they're banning a religion. They're just banning travel to 12 countries that happen to have a major religion in common.
Yes. Right. And again, the commentary on this, which is ours as well, is that, believe it or not, this administration maybe has learned something from the previous administration. We all recall well within days after Donald Trump taking the presidency, taking his oath in 2017, he did this. And one of the reasons why courts in a series of three swatches of litigation back then were striking this down is because it seemed targeted again, as to people of specific ethnicities and religions. They have maybe learned a little bit more this time. And so even though this is going to be challenged this time against 12 nations, they're identified there. It's Afghanistan and Chad, the Republic of Congo, Haiti, Iran, Libya, Somalia, a few others where there's some restrictions out there. And this time, even though it's fairly clear what it brings all those countries in a common group, this time you've got the president saying, well, this is about security vetting and that these countries don't have good security measures. And, oh, by the way, many of the people who come from those countries often overstay their visas. And for that reason, not because of ethnicity, not because of religion, we're going to target them. The point that, again, I think brings this home, what's really going on, the president goes on to say, we've got this Boulder, Colorado attack, and we cannot have people coming to our country and doing that. It is horrific. Mm. Absolutely. We agree with him on that. Of course, that particular individual, he was an Egyptian national. Significantly, Egypt, not on the list of banned nations. And again, if I were trying to challenge this, I'd go with that first to say, listen, if you're really concerned about security, overstaying visas, you would include that. And you specifically invoked this Boulder, Colorado situation. It reveals that, again, you're trying to dress up something in something other than what it really is.
Well, I think it's disgusting to exploit a tragic situation like Boulder, Colorado, and use it as an example like this. That's also just repugnant.
Right. And this will end up in the courts. There are probably those lawyers out there who, as of last night, are already got the complaints underway. So we'll go back in the federal courts. As we have talked repeatedly on this fine show in the mornings here, federal courts are the ones who at least initially are saying, no, you can't do this. And so this is be a back in court. There's a district court judge who will probably sometime soon, if not several, enjoin this, stop it from happening. We'll go down this road again. The government will probably run into the Supreme Court, these emergency applications. This is a shadow docket once again.
Yeah.
Supreme Court will probably issue something and we're back at it once again.
Well, you know, sometimes you get a little frustrated seeing some of these decisions coming out of the Supreme Court, especially the decision to allow deportation of over 530 immigrants.
Right. 530,000.
Jim, the thing that bothers me about a lot of this is that we guarantee them sanctuary in this country. We give them visas. We allow them in. And then suddenly we're just kicking them out right away.
Change the rules.
There shouldn't be this ability to change rules in midstream. I mean, we're talking about people's lives. They're moving here. They're in this country. They've settled in a little bit. They have some security feeling of belonging. And then all we do is just pull the rug out. And the Supreme Court is okay with that, that the country can do this to people. Is there something? There's something wrong inherently in the system, isn't there?
And the two of you and I find ourselves in good company to that very point, dissenting. Again, these are two different orders over the period of the past couple of weeks or so. But Ketanji Brown Jackson, Sonia Sotomayor said the majority is wrong on doing this, permitting the Trump administration to go ahead. They said the devastating consequences of allowing the government to precipitously upend the lives and livelihoods of nearly 500,000 non-citizens while their legal claims are still pending in this country, unconscionable. And that's really the big takeaway on this. The other part of this course is people will look at this and say, well, gee, you know, these are Biden era programs. And that's true. One of them is a temporary protected status that's involving about 350,000 Venezuelans. That's been around ever since the George Bush administration, used in situations where you've got disasters and armed conflicts and extraordinary instabilities to give people a safe place to come. And then we've also got the what's called the humanitarian parole. That's the one involving 500,000 people. Same kind of thing. Joe Biden, to your good point once again, humanitarian president said, let's make certain that before we kick these people out, they're given the opportunity to go into court and to make their cases. Different programs. Joe Biden did both of these. That is also, of course, the reason why this president says it's a Biden plan. It's a Biden program. For what it's worth, legislatively supported. This was not Joe Biden just making this up.
Yeah.
This is legislation passed by the Congress, invoked by the president. Donald Trump comes along and says Joe Biden's wrong. And now, because of the work of the Supreme Court on this emergency docket, non-final dispositions, the Trump administration, about 853,000 people, depending on how you count them, are now subject to deportation. Yet even while their claims are still pending in courts.
Yeah.
So they may be kicked out. And then at some point, the courts here figure out whether or not that was proper or not. That's what the Supreme Court has done in the past 10 days.
They're so inconsistent on all of this. There's nothing we can depend on. There's, you know, even common sense and logic does not play in a lot of these decisions, like the one where they rule that Trump can remove officials from independent agencies without cause. The whole point of not allowing the president to do it is negated. It's thrown right out. I My head can't wrap around this. What is going on? They're just making this stuff up now at this point.
Right, right. And you got it just right. And again, we've got at least three justices of our Supreme Court who thankfully are also having problems wrapping their heads around this. This is a situation, once again, all these administrative agencies, what we talked about before, this is the unitary executive theory, right? The president is responsible and overseeing everything. Again, we've got a Congress that over the period of many years has established these agencies like the National Labor Relations Board, like the MSPB, like the Federal Reserve, for what it's worth, and said, nope, you keep your hands off of those. They're independent. Once again, who said this? Not Joe Biden, not Barack Obama, but the Congress of the United States of America. And this president says, no, I can fire, I can change the members on this. And the other thing that he does with respect to a couple of these agencies, of course, is by virtue of getting rid of them, he reduces their number below what a quorum would require. And so you effectively put the MSPB, which is Merit Systems Protection Board, the National Labor Relations Board, what? Out of business. Mm-hmm. They can't do their job because of what, and that's the real purpose, right? You bring all this down. Interestingly, the other inconsistency out there, the Supreme Court goes on to say, but as to the Federal Reserve, that's apparently a bridge too far for even this court. And so the Supreme Court says, well, you can't fire Jerome Powell because of the unique structure of that agency. One wonders out loud, you don't have to be a lawyer, you don't have to be a judge to figure this out. What is the difference between the unique structure of that agency and the unique congressionally established structures of all these other agencies? It is an articulated difference without a real difference. And that's also the inconsistency that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Talking with attorney Jim Santel, host of Amicus Law Review every Saturday morning on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jim, what about this concept of just flooding the courts with just action after action, all these legal briefs flying back? Has there ever been any administration that has done anything even close to this?
I think the answer is no. I'm not a historian, right? Right. But in two ways, the reason why we're flooding the courts is, number one, we've got a president who very proudly is legislating by executive order. He shows up his signature, right? He's very proud of that in the Oval Office. And so many of these executive orders across the board that we've talked about before, the reason why the federal courts, your previous segment, the reason why they're closing them down is because they're an inappropriate exercise of his authority. Mm-hmm. Who legislates? Let's all say it together, Mr. President. It's the Congress, right?
Right.
You send them to Capitol Hill to make these decisions. You don't make decisions about these things. You can veto legislation. That's appropriate. But you can't do it that way. And so when he continues to do this, people run into court on all these things, asking the courts to stop this from going ahead. They do. And the other piece of this, which is the other horrific part, not in all the cases, but the Supreme Court, once again, talking about unprecedented things, and prior administrations have done this too, but not to this point, Gordy, as you just indicated. The Supreme Court saying, we'll take this on, we will stop the injunctions from happening, we'll let the president go ahead without the full litigation of the cases below. That's the shadow docket. That's this emergency application stuff that has changed the way we do litigation now about big issues in America.
Well, that changes everything because you're allowed to go ahead with things that are being challenged instead of just putting it on hold, you know, keeping things the way they are and have it go through the court system. They're doing it the opposite way, just letting these things go and then having it go through the court system. It's half-assed backwards is what it is.
It is. Absolutely. If everything becomes an emergency, then why don't we just get rid of the lower courts and have the Supreme Court decide everything, which is kind of what they're approaching now with the frequency of this. And it's a real, I didn't used to think it was a big concern. Now I do. And the feverish nature of the executive orders responded to by district courts, and then you run into the Supreme Court again without the benefit of lower courts review. There's something good that comes from judges at a lower court level taking evidence, having trials, making decisions, having appeals of those. And it's winnows and sifts, right? It's like any decision around your house. Yeah. You don't want to do something at 12 o'clock at night without any consideration. You do it because you pondered it a while. That's what we're missing. We're also getting orders from the Supreme Court, of course, that tell us nothing about the reasons for these decisions. They're unsigned, unsupported orders. It is no transparency of the sort that we've seen before.
Well, keep in mind, too, that the House passed a bill allowing these lower courts to be ignored by the president. Mm-hmm. Right, so, right. I mean, that's the next step that's going to happen. We're going to take a break here, but I want to get into your opinion on Judge Hannah Dugan's case, where there are so many people that signed on backing her position up and saying that, you know, saying basically the court has this ability to do what they want. This is their domain. I want your opinion on that. Sure. When we come back.
And we will be coming back in just a moment or so. It is 7:48. And when we return, we'll continue our discussion with Attorney Jim Santel. You can call us or text us if you have some concerns. 608-879-8255. That's 608-879-8255. Back in a moment with Jim Santel on John and Gordy in the Morning. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX 92.7, it's John and Gordy in the Morning with Jim Santel.
Mm-hmm. Good to back to Jim here in just a moment. This portion of the show brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. You can find them at madisonhearingaidcenter.com or at their location, 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison. They help people change their lives. Their number one goal isn't just selling hearing aids. It's improving the quality of life through better hearing. You can get fast and flexible appointments. They offer individualized care, not one size fits all. They are doing a great job. Jim and Sarah will take care of you. Go to madisonhearingaidcenter.com for more information. You can get a free hearing test right on their website to get you started and make an appointment. madisonhearingaidcenter.com. Also, I want to remind you just a few more minutes to get the keyword in during this contest hour. There will be other contests hour for our Wisconsin Scani Summer Text to Win statewide contest. Happens at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. During those hours, we offer up the keywords. The keyword this hour, you just have a few more minutes to enter that in on the Civic Media app. You can do that. Text us the word road. That's R-O-A-D, road. We have a pair of Brewers tickets up for grabs this hour. There'll be other contest hours, as I mentioned before, and everybody gets entered into the grand prize drawing for a Wisconsin Dells getaway or a Door County getaway. Go to civicmedia.us for more contest rules.
All right. Let's get back to Jim Santel. Amicus, a law review. You can listen to his program on Saturday between 9 and 11 o'clock. I did ask a question about Hannah Dugan, the judge in Milwaukee, who is under scrutiny by ICE and this administration. A federal judge has said that there is a problem here, perhaps, and they're going to take a look at it. But there are a lot of judges and a lot of attorneys who are backing her up. They've signed a document saying that they don't see anything wrong and that her courtroom is her courtroom. It's her domain, and she's doing what she needs to do. What is your opinion? Is this something they can hold up in court? Is this something they're using in defense of Hannah Dugan?
It is, absolutely. And so her very good defense attorneys, I know virtually all of them, they're expert. They know what they're doing. Admittedly, these particular arguments, I don't want to say that they're novel because they're out there, but they're not the standard fare that you normally see in motions to dismiss and motions to attack evidence. What they're basically alleging is a 10th Amendment constitutional violation, consistent with what you just accurately described. This is a situation, according to Hannah Dugan and her attorneys, where the federal government, again, should not be involved in a state government matter. This is, again, contrary to the 10th Amendment that says basically that federal government, you stay off if the rights are not specifically designated in the Constitution. The state has a right to do its business without intervention by the federal government. That's one piece. The other piece, which I find equally fascinating, same kind of argument, is that somehow this is also the subject of judicial immunity, that the judge is immune from doing this again because it's in her courtroom. She's doing something judicial. And there is that concept out there as well. What is fascinating about the briefs that they have filed is that what are they invoking for the concept of immunity? Not exclusively, but they're basically saying to this government and to this Department of Justice, let's invoke a case called the United States versus Donald Trump.
There you go.
And that was a case, by the way, in which, again, John Roberts and majority of the Supreme Court said executive immunity applies in a way we've never seen before. It's not perfectly applicable, but they're basically saying if it applies over there and you want to protect a part of government from attacks on its operational ability to do its job, why shouldn't it apply here? It is a fascinating argument. And again, Judge Lynn Edelman, who has the case, will be deciding this, is the kind of judge who may in fact entertain these very seriously, in addition to the other arguments that are surely coming in this pretrial stage. Scheduled a trial for early or mid to July. That will not happen. But there will be a lot of activity once these decisions, once these motions are fully briefed.
All right. And there is some scrutiny over the appointee, Judge Lynn Edelman's past comments about Trump on this as well. They're trying to they're trying to attack the judge in this case, you know, making it seem like he's partisan.
Right. We pull out all the stops in America these days. Right. And unfortunately, we bemoan this in our previous conversations. Yeah. It's just this notion that, you know, you've got Trump appointed judges. This is not a Biden appointed judge, but based upon their own political views expressed in the past, undeniably Lynn Edelman, his time in the state house, was a Democrat. Right.
Right.
And
right.
So you look at that and you say, OK. And he's also plainly been critical of the president in connection with some things that fall on his desk. You do all these kinds of things. It is a defense, if you will, on the other side of the prosecution here. And again, we are right here in Wisconsin at the core of this major rule of law issue going forward, having to do with the independence of a branch of government and the role of this administration in particular in enforcing its view of not just immigration, but also what happens if you run afoul of their immigration policies. I think the big message once again is we'll prosecute you. And yes, we remember well those pictures. We will shackle you and we will bring you into the halls of justice to stop you from doing that.
Well, Jim, you're going to be on call because the Supreme Court has a whole bunch of cases they're going to be looking at and finally deciding on. So get ready.
We may have to call
lots
you
of them coming
week.
Up.
Several times.
Absolutely. maybe birthright citizenship and who knows, education, all kinds of things. Happy to talk. This is the time when once again, our Supreme Court mid-morning, our time, begins to issue these major rulings that affect our lives and our livelihoods. Delighted to be with you.
Very good. We got to leave it there. Jim, thank you for joining us. That's attorney Jim Santel. You can listen to him Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network with his great program, Amicus, a Law Review. Thanks, Jim. Talk to you again soon.
Always a pleasure.
All right.
All righty. And coming up tomorrow, Rocker will be in the studio with a Max Inc. preview. Also, Pam Yonke, and we'll be checking in with Savannah Tomei Olson, too. Stephanie Miller is coming up next. John,
Bernie,
I hope you have
a
wonderful day.
No,
you know, I really mean it.
I know, but this time I want to.
It's coming from
the
heart.
I want to emphasize how much
I know you feel the same way to me. And it's all about. Can you feel the love,
peace,
ladies
love,
and gentlemen?
Okay. Dove,
have a great day.
Yes, okay.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.